next on the 5 o'clock report.
Terrible decisions were made by the on-scene commander and should have never happened.
They should have just gone in there and done their job.
At the end of the day, we felt that we had a successful election.
The economic woes now upon us have been caused by one person.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Mark Webster.
Terrible decisions were made by the on-scene commander and should have never happened. Plain and simple.
Texas Department of Public Safety Colonel Stephen McGraw telling a state hearing today that the initial police response to the mass shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde was an abject failure. McGraw says he doesn't believe the shooter even had time to lock the classroom door where he was hiding and killing kids.
I don't believe, based on the information we have right now, that that door was ever secured. In fact, I have great reason to believe it wasn't secured.
Law enforcement had previously said officers had to wait for a janitor to get a key to open that door before shooting and killing the gunman. 19 students and two teachers died in the attack. McGraw says law enforcement failed a basic test when it mattered most.
One of the things they teach you in active training, I'm sure that one of the experts can talk about it, how about trying the door and see if it's unlocked? Well, we used to call a clue at that point. Why not? And of course, no one had.
Last night, parents of children who were killed in last month's shooting called for the Uvalde School District Police Chief to resign. At an emotional school board meeting Monday night, parents and other members of the Uvalde community called for Chief Pete Arredondo to step down.
I'm more angry that they're trying to cover up a lot of things and trying to hold us back from speaking. Also, just that they should have just gone in there and done their job. Basically, they just didn't do their job.
According to the Texas Tribune, surveillance footage shows the officers had access to ballistic shields along with at least two rifles within minutes of arriving at Robb Elementary. Arredondo reportedly called a dispatcher and said he did not have the firepower necessary to approach the shooter. The Supreme Court has ruled on a case that could be a game changer for public and faith-based education.
If a state's going to give money for this kind of support, it also has to give it to parents that send their children to schools that offer a religious education.
NBC News legal analyst Pete Williams says in that 6-3 decision today, the High Court ruled public vouchers are allowable for private and religious schools in rural areas of the country. The case that originated in Maine means parents, in some cases, now have the choice to send their kids to schools using their taxes meant for public school.
The state has a law that said that money can't be used to send the children to what are called sectarian schools.
Williams says the High Court ruled the Maine law violated religious freedom by not allowing parents to use the money to send children to faith-based schools. Ralph Carr with the Teaching and Learning Institute tells Family Life.
I think that parents should have a right to choose where their children go to school. And I hope that as parents consider that, that they'll make the choice that they believe is right for their child.
He does caution that if parents decide to go the private school route, it comes at the loss of their kids' ability to participate in public school sports or clubs. Efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election results in Georgia, highlighting the January 6th House Committee session this afternoon.
And at the end of the day, we felt that we had a successful election from the standpoint of the administration and the operation of the election.
Republican Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger calling the election in his state remarkably smooth. Testifying before the panel, Raffensperger said President Biden's victory survived rigorous recounts. Former President Trump called Raffensperger and asked him to find more than 11,000 votes to reverse the results in Georgia. Another subject of those hearings, former Vice President Mike Pence, sounding like a candidate for the White House as he slammed its current occupant for the current economic crisis.
Unlike the Great Depression of the 1930s, the stagflation of the 1970s, or even the Great Recession of 2008, the economic woes now upon us have been caused almost single-handedly by one person.
Speaking in Chicago, Pence blamed President Biden for current inflation rates, claiming he'd never seen a stronger disconnect between citizens and their president. He mentioned Biden urging Americans to get COVID vaccines last year, insisting there was a gap between what citizens want and how the president measures success. A second confirmed U.S. fatality in Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
The American who was killed, his name is Steven Zabielski. He's 52 years old, originally from New York, but had been living in Florida before he came to Ukraine, where he was fighting with a group of foreign fighters, among them other Americans. We're told that a landmine killed him in some way.
The Kremlin spokesman says he can't guarantee that two U.S. military veterans captured in Ukraine won't face the death penalty. Dmitry Peskov says the men from Alabama were involved in what he called illegal activities and firing at Russian troops in Ukraine. Tensions remain high in the Middle East. The latest flare-up involving an Iranian Revolutionary Guard speedboat, which came dangerously close to a U.S. Navy warship in the Strait of Hormuz yesterday. The Associated Press reporting the Iranian speedboat was headed straight for that U.S. patrol boat, USS Sirocco, which eventually fired a flare at the approaching boat. That convinced the Iranians to veer off. The Persian Gulf encounter comes amid concerns about Iran's progress toward possessing a nuclear weapon as Tehran adds new centrifuges needed to enrich the necessary uranium to make a bomb. And Stephen Colbert is defending his staffers who were arrested at the U.S. Capitol last week. The host of CBS's The Late Show said Monday night that the people charged with unlawful entry were actually guilty of what Colbert called hijinks with intent to goof. CBS confirmed on Friday that seven members of The Late Show's production team were detained by Capitol Police after they recorded interviews at the Capitol complex last Wednesday and Thursday. Capitol Police said in a statement last week that Colbert's staffers were arrested Thursday night after they'd been told to leave earlier. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, a plane crash in Canandaigua, a Pennsylvania gun control update, and a slithering surprise in suburban Buffalo.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. As we move into the first couple of days of summer, we do so with some summery weather. The call for tonight is partly cloudy to clear and muggy, low temp 60s and low 70s. Tomorrow, clouds and some sunshine, a couple of strong thunderstorms across the area. High temps generally in the 80s, 10 or 90 in spots. And then a cooler, less humid day Thursday as clouds yield to sunshine. Temperatures Thursday afternoon ranging primarily in the 70s to near 80 degrees.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Now checking the stories making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. The Ontario County Sheriff's Office says a small plane crashed just north of the Canandaigua Airport this afternoon. OCSO says a call came in just after 2 p.m. on Brickyard and Yerkes Road in the town of Canandaigua for the report of a single-engine plane down in a field. Before the plane crashed, the pilot apparently self-ejected. He was brought to Strong Memorial Hospital in Rochester by Mercy Flight with injuries that are deemed non-life-threatening. Pennsylvania state campaign records show Democratic candidate for Governor Josh Shapiro has nearly $13.5 million on hand heading into the November elections. His Republican opponent Doug Mastriano has just under $400,000. Both figures come from campaign finance reports filed with the Department of State and reflect the candidate's funds from May 3rd to June 6th, which include the final weeks of the primary campaign. Meanwhile, Republican candidate for Governor Mastriano is adding a Trump lawyer to his team. Mastriano's campaign announcing that Janet Ellis is coming on board as a legal advisor. Ellis formerly helped the former president challenge the 2020 election results. Abortion politics could figure prominently in deciding Pennsylvania's next governor. Nominees in that contest, of course, already set. Shapiro calls Mastriano's pro-life views dangerous.
He is dangerous, he's extreme, and he is way out of touch with where most Pennsylvanians are on this issue.
But many on the pro-life side argue it is Shapiro with the extreme and dangerous views. They say his abortion politics are even more radical than outgoing Governor Tom Wolf's, who once worked for Planned Parenthood. Pennsylvania could soon see new limits on when fireworks can be set off. The Senate Agriculture and Rural Affairs Committee has voted to send to the full chamber for consideration. Every Republican except Senate President Pro Tem Jake Corman voted in favor of the bill. The proposal would limit the time for using fireworks from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., except on certain holidays. It would also redirect the fireworks tax to help fund EMS and firefighter programs and require people to give livestock owners at least 3 days' notice. A PA House committee has blocked a gun control bill. We get the story from Family Life's Tracy Lynn.
Mark, the Pennsylvania House Judiciary Committee's Republican majority has halted a bill aimed at banning 18 to 20-year-olds from possessing assault-style firearms and replaced the measure's text with language that would allow for concealed carry of a gun without a permit. That's a policy Republicans have previously passed before it was vetoed by Governor Tom Wolf. New verbiage would do away with the requirement for gun owners to get a concealed carry license to possess a gun outside their home or business. Right now, PA gun owners 21 and older can carry a concealed weapon if they successfully secure a permit from their county sheriff. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you, Tracy. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York has revealed his plan to help communities across New York State put an end to the ongoing opioid crisis. Schumer is calling for federal funding to be used for improving treatment and addiction recovery services. He also wants more resources to be made available to law enforcement to help police deal with drug-related issues. Last year, 107,000 Americans died due to drug overdoses. New solitary confinement rules under the HALT Act that limits a prisoner's time in segregated confinement housing have been upheld after a federal judge dismissed a challenge filed by the state's Correction Officers Union last year. The Humane Alternatives to Long-Term Solitary Confinement, or HALT Act, caps the amount of time an inmate in New York prisons or jails can be held in segregated confinement housing to 15 days, or 20 days over a two-month period. The union petitioned to overturn the law, arguing it removes disciplinary action and increases the likelihood of prison assaults and violent incidents. But the court ruled that a potential risk is not enough to repeal a law. It is unclear whether the union plans to appeal that decision. The search for a jet skier who was reported missing over the weekend resumed today in Rochester. Monroe County deputies say Anafil Nieves was last seen Saturday in the area of Duran Eastman Beach, north of the city. Crews have been searching both the water and land near the beach for days. So far, no signs of Nieves' whereabouts. Delaware North holding the first of two job fairs today as the company looks to fill positions at Highmark Stadium for the upcoming Bills season. The hiring event goes from 5:30 until 7:30 tonight at the AdPro Sports Training Center nearby the stadium in Orchard Park. The second job fair, same place, on July 16th. Positions they're looking to fill include cashiers, servers, vendors, and line cooks. And a suburban Buffalo woman and her granddaughter got a slithering surprise over the weekend, a 9-foot-long boa constrictor, which emerged from the woods near her Derby, New York home. Cindy Schmitz tells WKBW-TV.
It looked like a log. I was stunned. I didn't know what to do at that point.
Wisely, once she and her granddaughter got to a safe place, they summoned the Erie County SPCA. But even animal rescue investigator Jennifer Maleskis was impressed with the big body boa.
Quite honestly, I mean, this was the largest one I had ever come across, and I did a whoa.
Yeah, who wouldn't? Nonetheless, she corralled the cagey constrictor, which is now in the SPCA's custody, although they say they don't really have an adequate space to keep such a large reptile long term. They speculate the snake, native to South America, either escaped or was dumped into the woods by its owner when it got too big. Letting such a dangerous animal loose is illegal. Your nightly market report next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
After one of the worst weeks for the market since the pandemic, the major indexes opened with a solid bounce. Analysts continuing to weigh if inflation and potential recession concerns are fully priced in or if stocks still have further to fall. Computer chip companies saw solid gains today, as did Google parent Alphabet, while Facebook parent company Meta and Netflix were down 4 and 2.6% respectively. Oil today up a dollar to $110 a barrel. Final numbers on Wall Street, the Dow gaining 641 points, the S&P 500 adding 89, and the NASDAQ was up 270 points. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Thank you, Mr. Margolotti. This is the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
Summer is officially here. Hi, I'm Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute. After 2 years of pandemic upheaval, it looks like we're going to have a more normal summer this year. More people going on vacation, attending baseball games, having backyard barbecues. I sure hope you have an opportunity to unplug and recharge sometime over the next few weeks. Work is a good thing, but so is leisure. Both are blessings from God. Now, I do have one bit of practical advice. Sometimes with traveling and more activities and different schedules, it's easy to fall behind on your money management. You might miss a payment or, oops, forget to make a transfer. Don't let that happen. Set a few reminders on your phone or calendar about important financial tasks. Then relax and enjoy the wonderful season of summer. Connect with a certified Kingdom advisor who's been trained to deliver financial advice that aligns with your Christian values by visiting our website, moneywise.org.
Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, a story that generated a lot of buzz, literally.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. As we move into the first couple of days of summer, we do so with some summery weather. Heat, humidity, also the risk of thunderstorms with the approach of a cold front, behind which the air will cool again for Thursday. The call for tonight is partly cloudy to clear and muggy, low temp 60s and low 70s. Tomorrow, clouds and some sunshine, a couple of strong thunderstorms across the area. High temps generally in the 80s, 10 or 90 in spots. And then a cooler, less humid day Thursday as clouds yield to sunshine. Temperatures Thursday afternoon ranging primarily in the 70s to near 80 degrees.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5. The sound of a beehive is enough to send most of us scrambling for cover, so imagine how a couple in Omaha, Nebraska must have felt recently when they heard a sound just like that coming from inside the walls of their home. Tom and Mary Lou Goudier have nothing against bees. They watch a lot of nature shows and plant bee-friendly flowers in their garden. However, an in-home hive, well, that's another matter. They knew something was up when they started noticing bees commuting back and forth through their kitchen window. Instead of the A-team, they contacted members of the Omaha Bee Club, who, for $600, safely removed an estimated 6,000 honeybees from a hive inside one of the walls of their 100-year-old home, which likely happened when they made their way through a crack in the mortar of the home's brick exterior. While that $600 bill must have stung a bit, the Goudiers say overall it was a sweet experience, since they got to taste some of the honey from their uninvited house guests. And, well, it could have been worse. The Bee Club says their last removal job involved 15,000 bees. Well, hive run out of time. That's the world we live in for Tuesday, June 21st, 2022. Thank you for joining us. I'm Mark Webster, Family Life News.